Corruption scandals once again rock the European Parliament.
A court in Paris has found the leader of the far-right National Rally Party, Marine Le Pen, guilty of embezzlement of European Union funds.
Meanwhile, the alleged bribery scandal known as Huawei Gate continues to rumble in the European Parliament.
European democracy is under attack.
This is part of a worrying trend where research by investigative journalists in Brussels has revealed that almost a quarter of EU lawmakers were involved in scandals or breaking the law on issues ranging from harassment to corruption. So, does this mean that EU democracy is on the same path as the US, where 80% of Americans now believe that politicians serve their donors first rather than the people in their districts? Or could it be that actually some low-level corruption by a minority of its 720 parliament members is really not such a big deal in today's turbulent world? After all, if we again compare it to the US, what used to be scandals is now just another Tuesday. A lawmaker like Nancy Pelosi outperforming all other hedge funds, don't worry about it. Putting a key government contractor in charge of restructuring the government, that's fine. A sitting president literally launching a meme coin, well, there's clearly bigger things to worry about. On top of that, highlighting low-level corruption in the EU gives people like Hungary's Viktor Orban, under whose rule Hungary became Europe's most corrupt country, an opportunity to say stuff like this.
I think this body has some expertise when it comes to corruption.
Meaning that the EU cannot credibly criticize Hungary, even though the level of grand corruption is on a completely different scale. So even if this is morally absolutely wrong, could it actually be that the correct decision for Europeans is, paradoxically, to focus less on small-scale EU corruption to ensure the public remains interested in large-scale corruption and conflicts of interests like the ones on the scale we see in Hungary and increasingly in the United States? To answer that question, as always on this channel, I've done a deep dive into the scientific literature how corruption undermines democracy, and, crucially, the other way around. But first, I set out to uncover how bad the problem really is. In other words, is the EU actually getting more corrupt and undemocratic? To answer this question, though, I think that as an academically trained researcher, I should be honest about my limitations. I may read a lot of research reports and papers, but I don't walk around Brussels speaking truth to power every day. This is where Follow the Money EU comes in, one of the very few journalistic watchdogs focused on the European Union itself. They have essentially uncovered two very worrying trends about the European Union. The first is increased corruption scandals at the European Parliament, and the second is increased secrecy at the European Commission, especially under Ursula von der Leyen, when she became president of the EU Commission. So, let's first talk about increased corruption in the European Parliament. Although, of course, it could be that the Parliament was always this corrupt, but that now more scandals are uncovered thanks to better policing. In any case, the worrying trend of increased corruption scandals started in 2022 with what came to be known as Qatargate. In this scandalous episode, high-ranking members of the parliament, including one of its vice presidents, allegedly took hundreds of thousands of euros from the Moroccan and Qatari governments to represent their interests. Then, just 2 years after promising better ethical controls, the parliament was again shook by a similar case where several members were allegedly paid considerable sums to speak favorably about Chinese telecom giant Huawei. This scandal came to be known as Huawei Gate. And finally, now we have what we could call Marine Le Pen Gate, where far-right French politician Marine Le Pen was convicted for misusing parliament money to fund activities for her own French party. But in this case, things got even more shady, as Follow the Money research has shown that this practice, for which Le Pen got convicted, was actually very widespread. In fact, hold on. Perhaps it makes more sense for Lise Witteman, deputy editor-in-chief at Follow the Money Brussels, to explain this herself. Lise, bedankt voor je hulp. Ben je klaar voor?
Kom maar op.
So Lise, Follow the Money has reported that this practice of siphoning off EU Parliament money is actually very widespread, but not everyone gets into trouble for it. How does it work?
That's quite a painful issue, because what we've seen is that over the last couple of years, actually really more than 100 members of the European Parliament have been misspending money meant to pay European Parliament assistance. And only a few of them get actually sent through to the prosecutors to be dealt with. And what we've noticed is that mostly members of the European Parliament who are part of far-right parties are being, those cases are being sent to prosecutors, while others may just get to hear, just pay the money back and things will be fine. So obviously the European Parliament hasn't admitted it, this, but as we compare the numbers and the cases we've seen, we worry that there is really sometimes a political system behind this. And this is especially worrisome because I don't think that Le Pen shouldn't have been convicted. She did have this fraud case. But I do think everybody should be treated the same. And this fuels obviously into the narrative of the populist and into the mistrust of citizens into the European Union.
Which brings us to the second worrying trend, which is increased secrecy under Commission President Ursula von der Leyen. For example, there's the Pfizergate scandal where von der Leyen made a deal to buy vaccines at the height of the pandemic, I believe. But whereas usually the conditions of these types of deals would become public knowledge, at some point Lise's colleague Alexander is still being stonewalled for the details.
When Alexander Fanta, one of Follow the Money's colleagues, or when the European prosecutor or the European Court of Auditors or other journalists, everyone who required after those messages, nobody has seen them up until now. So in that sense, we can't hold von der Leyen accountable for it, which is one of the basics of a democracy, that you can that you are able to question the people in power.
Very worrying indeed. And where I thought it was particularly interesting is that they used the fact that the deal was made by text message to say, look, there's no official document that you can obtain because it was a text message. That's not an official document. On top of that, Lise's team has written that von der Leyen has employed other sneaky tactics, like moving more and more text from official minutes that are available to the public and journalists to annexes and footnotes that are allowed to be kept secret in the interest of national security. On top of that, Follow the Money has covered how von der Leyen's party, the EPP, has increasingly tried to defund NGOs that are part of the Brussels system of checks and balances to hold politicians to account on issues that are counter to the interest of industry lobbying groups, such as, for example, when it comes to the environment. So Lise, is von der Leyen following in Orbán's footsteps?
Well, luckily we are not there yet. You know, these watchdogs are still in place. They are still able to do their work to a certain extent. So for now, I would say the European Commission is not in the same place as Hungary or the way that the United States is now heading towards. But there are worrying trends, and if we don't do anything, then you can say, we're not that bad yet. But things can go very quickly, very bad. And that we've seen also in certain European countries, that once there is not enough respect anymore for the importance of watchdogs, things can deteriorate. And then you only need one very bad leader with bad intentions, and democracy can go down the hill fast.
Could we say that corruption is essentially a slippery slope? If you allow a little bit of it, you're going to normalize it, and then more and more corruption will follow. Is that what you're saying?
Super slippery.
Okay, thanks, Lise. That sounds logical. It's a slippery slope to more corruption and perhaps eventually becoming a flawed democracy or even dictatorship. But is that actually true? To find out, as always in this channel, I've delved into the scientific and professional literature to find out. Is corruption indeed a slippery slope undermining democracy? Where this graph makes one thing very clear. The most democratic nations, according to The Economist's Democracy Index, are also the least corrupt, according to the Corruption Perception Index from Transparency International. Interestingly, there's one flawed democracy that is really not corrupt at all. This is Singapore. Also, note that some autocratic regimes are really not that corrupt. But overall, the trend seems really clear. But I'm emphasizing seems really clear, because this graph, I think, represents exactly one of the biggest misconceptions in social sciences, which is correlation is not causation. That is, while the correlation seems really clear, also in more extensive studies, I have to say, we simply do not know if becoming more autocratic causes corruption, or if corruption actually is a slippery slope that makes democracies become more and more autocratic. It could easily be just that becoming more democratic makes you less corrupt. For example, as you can see here, many studies tend to find that there is a non-linear relationship between corruption and democracy, where autocratic regimes that just became democratic tend to be more corrupt than purely autocratic regimes that have always been autocratic. For example, have a look at this red line, which could show that very autocratic countries get more corrupt as they become more democratic, only to become less corrupt as they then become better democracies over time. And this was for Africa. Now, that relationship seems to suggest that actually democratic strength reduces corruption, at least in its final form. But again, correlation is not causation. We do not know exactly which causes what, but we do know that democracy and corruption are related. We also know from journalists from countries that recently became both more autocratic and corrupt that they describe the process as a slippery slope. For example, recently various journalists from countries ranging from Russia to Turkey recently advised in the Financial Times that if there is no effective pushback, would-be authoritarians will go further and faster. Similarly, we do know from political scientists that there is something like a corruption trap, meaning that corruption can create a self-perpetuating cycle where, as corruption becomes normalized, it can lead to more people engaging in corrupt practices. So overall, I'd say that there is a lot of evidence out there that corruption and increased anti-democratic behavior like von der Leyen's secrecy can be a very slippery slope indeed. To make matters even worse, professional literature mentions that paradoxically perceived high corruption can provide a platform for authoritarian leaders that then promise to fight that very corruption, only then to be even more corrupt themselves when they get into office. So, could there still be a paradoxical case made for staying silent on minor EU corruption to prevent people like Orban from exploiting it in parliament? It seemed far-fetched to me, but I still wanted to ask Lisa.
It's like this. I do think that some of our stories feed into the playbook of Orban or Putin. They are saying, look, Brussels is just as bad as the other ones. They are corrupt. They are also, they are not better than we are. But I think that the big difference between countries such as Hungary, such as Russia, and the European Union as it is still today, is that do you stand up against corruption? Do you send people to prison who are fraudulent, who are corrupt, or do you let it go? And you see that indeed in Hungary, for instance, the prosecutor is a watchdog on a leash. And that's the situation that you want to prevent, because if you're there, then nothing can stop deterioration of the rule of law and democracy. So let's make sure that we are not getting there and step up against corruption. As long as that's the case, I'm still very happy to live in the European Union.
This is exactly why I teamed up with Follow the Money for this episode. To me, it makes sense that precisely to keep corruption at bay, to avoid normalizing it, as seems to have happened in the US, we absolutely need to ensure policymakers are held accountable. So, even though they did not sponsor this video, they did not pay me anything, I do really want to implore all of you to support this type of investigative journalism on the European level. So, if you want to support work like the articles I linked in the description and top comment below, please go to ftm.eu/become-member to support and get access to unique European investigative journalism, which is also really fun to read, honestly. Or if you want to know more, buy their book, Who's Watching Europe, at ftm.eu/products. And finally, if you're not in Europe and want me to do more collaborations like this with investigative journalists in your region of choice, please let me know in the comments and also consider supporting Money Macro on Patreon. I'm not an investigative journalist, but I do try to do my part protecting democracy by trying to provide deep, accurate, balanced videos about the world today. To make more though, I really need a bigger team of experts, which I think I can start hiring when I hit about $3,000 per month on Patreon. Now, if you want to contribute to me making that, consider checking out patreon.com/moneymacro. Thank you very much.